Well, if you're just joining us for the first time today, or kind of new, we've been going through a series in regard to Genesis chapter 1 and exploring how Genesis 1 lays a groundwork for us in regard to becoming a new creation of God. How do we become a new creation? Well, God showed us how He makes something new. As we covered last week, we're going to go through this quickly today. God made the heavens and earth, and we know that God makes us and gives us life. The earth was a wasteland. It was covered in darkness. And so are we. Our lives are wastelands until God comes in. There's only one name under heaven by which we can be saved. And until we come to Christ, we're just like a wasteland. We're something not being used the way God intended it to be used. But the Spirit of God moved down the face of the waters, as we know, on the planet Earth. And so did the Spirit move on us. We know God chooses us. He's the one who selects us. We are here today as believers by the grace of God. His Spirit works something in us to see Him, to be chosen by Him, and then to believe. And God said, let there be light. And God shown that light to us. And we can believe in Jesus. And just as it said, and God saw that the light was good, so we must agree with God that the light is good. That the light of Jesus Christ, that salvation through Jesus, is where our whole walk and journey to become new creations begins. There is no other way to start it. It has to begin with the light of Christ. Light showed the true state of the earth. So when we came to Jesus, we saw ourselves. We made a confession that, yes, I'm a sinner. My life is a waste without you, God. I need you to come and breathe life into me. And so certainly we have our confession and a repentance to come before God. And then God brought the earth out of the waters of death. And that's what God did with you. If you believed and were baptized, He brought you up to be a new creature. And that's what He did with the earth. He brought it out of the waters of death so He could begin to form it and to shape it. And that's what happens in our lives. Then God separated the earth and established the river systems. And God gives us of the Holy Spirit. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a new life being formed within. God gives us His Spirit to start forming something eternal within us. Then God commanded that the earth bring forth fruit and seed after its kind. And as God's Spirit lives in us, we produce godly fruit, and we spread that godly seed, the Word of God. So God makes the earth, and He starts putting forth His seed in the earth. And we talked about how we're the ground. And where the earth is very submissive, where the earth is a willing subject, the question for us is, are we willing? Are we willing to let God plant in us His Word and to let it bring forth the fruit that He wants it to, which will, of course, spread that seed? And last week we talked about lights in the firmament to rule the day and the night, to show us the path in the good times and the hard times. It is God's light, His wisdom, and the understanding of His Word that shows us how. It's not just looking up to the heavens to see individual stars. One star doesn't do it. It's having an understanding of the sky, of having an understanding that will navigate you through the sea or through the land. It's having an understanding of how all the light works together. And what God does is we continue to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He orders the truth. He orders the Scripture in our hearts and in our minds so that we're led by it in wisdom, that we know when to apply and what to apply. So we can say, answer a fool according to his folly and answer not a fool according to his folly, and know those are both truth. The wisdom shows you how to apply as we're led by the Spirit of God. Lights for signs, season, days and years. Specific Bible teachings that show us the truth. They show us and identify things for us that we need to see. So we don't want to be ignoring some and accepting others, because then what do you get? You get partial pictures. All Scripture, as was read as a memory verse today, is God-breathed. All of it. For doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. God breathed it for us. Lights to divide light from the darkness. God's Word to show the difference to us between good and evil. It says that you know as you are exercised how to discern between good and evil, and God saw that it was good. This is the challenging question. When you see the understanding of how this applies to you, my friends, as a new creation, Every single day, God is saying, God saw it was good. And He is challenging you when you read that to say, do you think it's good? Because if you don't believe it's good, and if you don't believe it's specifically for your good, it's not going to have an impact on your life. The earth was a willing subject. But are you living, walking, talking earth? Are you a willing subject? Will you let God create in you something new and something beautiful? So let's continue on today. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 20. Genesis 1 and verse 20, he says this. Genesis 1 and in verse 20. God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earthly, let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth. And the evening and the morning was the fifth day. Now here we know in day 5 and day 6, God is beginning to create animal life. Right? He's creating animal life. Now let me ask you this question. How much success and abundance in life, and how much ability to multiply would the animals have if God hadn't done the work of the first 4 days?
None.
In order for the animals to live, God had to do the work of the first 4 days, didn't He? Now, I want you to think about this in a creative sense, because where we're headed here is how would the animals survive without the earth being it? How would they gain life if the earth wasn't first made so they could have life? Everything we're going to read about in day 5 and 6 is dependent on day 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's dependent on it. Now, I want us to get this picture in our heads and really start to think about how this works, because what God is doing is setting up a system, setting up an environment where creatures can live off of the fruit of the earth. But if there's no fruit from the earth, there's no life to the creatures that God is making to live on the earth. They couldn't live without it. I want you to think about this for your own life. You realize you are not able to give life spiritually if you don't have the foundation of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of confession and repentance, of being baptized and receiving of the Holy Spirit and beginning to produce fruit. What can your life offer? What can you give to impart life to someone else? How much could you give if that work's not done in you? Isn't it the same answer? What did we say? How could the animals survive if God hadn't done the work? No! Can you give spiritual life and blessing to any other creature if God doesn't do the work in you? No. Now, it's not a matter of you and I doing the work, you see. God is the creator. We are the creation. But what it does require is for us to be willing to submit to what He says, to yield to His divine creation within us, to believe the things that have come, that we can bear fruit and bear witness for Him. Strong faith, strong witness. Weak faith, weak witness. God is creating an environment. But I want you to kind of reverse this a little bit. I want you to think about all that the first 4 days were doing. Because God already knew from the beginning of creation that what He wanted to do on the planet Earth was to have animals and creatures and ultimately mankind, you and me. The whole reason He starts with day one in the light and He's shaping of the earth and removing the waters of death and putting the waters of light is because He wanted to have an environment for you and me to bring children to glory, to make sons and daughters in His image. I want you to think about this in the sense of your life, my life, and the work that God is doing in us. The whole reason that God brings us the gospel, brings us the truth, brings us all these things is because He wants us to give life to others. You know how we talk about independent Christianity? How unable independent Christianity is? How it's because of this. It's weak because of this. There's no such thing as staying at home alone and not blessing others with the fruit of God. Think about that. Think about if God did the work of day 1, 2, 3, and 4 and stopped. Beautiful earth, right? Wow, look at those beautiful trees. Oh, wait. You can't see them because you don't exist. What if God beautified the whole earth and He never made anyone to enjoy it? If He never made anybody to receive it? You see, sometimes humanly we kind of do this. We step into the creative process that God is working in our lives and we say, well, no, I've accepted Jesus. I've repented and confessed my sins. I've been baptized. I've received the Spirit of God. And I'm producing fruit by the Spirit. And we let it all go to waste. We don't share it with anybody. You see what a crime that would be? If God didn't put creatures on the earth, who would partake of what He created? Of what He made? Your life. My life. Was made to give life to others. This is the essence of who God is making us to be. People who bring life to others. This is how God has chosen to do it. Just as He made the earth to be the environment which would provide life to the animals and to the children that He makes in His image, the sons and daughters, so your life is being formed and shaped so that you can bring life to others. To give what you have. To give the blessings that God has poured out upon you onto other people. But what a shame it would be if we didn't do that. I want you to think about God for a moment. When you think of God, what do you think of first? When you gaze upon God, what is the thing that you could say, man, it comes right to mind. I like that a lot about God. What do you think, Scott? When I say, think about the character of God, boy, I love this about God. What would you say?
His unending and deep love.
Unending and deep love. That's a cool thing about God, isn't it? I mean, He just cares so much. And it's just amazing how much He cares. Anybody else, what's a characteristic? This kind of comes to the top of your mind. You say, this is so cool about God. I love this about God. Yes. He's powerful. He can do anything. And that's amazing, isn't it? He can bring things to life, right? Andrew.
He's blameless.
He's blameless, right? I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing. Do you know anybody else besides God who's blameless? Wow. I mean, blameless. We're blameless because He makes us blameless. But He just is blameless, right? What else? What else comes to your mind? Garrett.
He doesn't lie.
He doesn't lie. Stephanie.
When He forgives us, He remembers our sin no more.
Oh, man. That's a good one, isn't it? As far as east is from the west, so far He removes our sins from us. Anybody else?
Meticulous planner.
Meticulous planner. That's very consultancy, Scott. That is very much from a consultant.
Mercy.
His mercy. And I dig his mercy. What is it?
Patience.
Wow. I mean, as you kind of contemplate God and his character here this morning, don't you just love him? I mean, the thought of being with God, of knowing he is your God, of understanding he made you, he created you, this is the character of the one who made us. It's awesome, isn't it? I think it's fantastic to think about just who God is. I mean, it's so much more than just the fact that he made us. It's what's in his heart. Mercy, compassion, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness. He's just so loving, so caring, so holy. He doesn't sin. He doesn't lie. He doesn't cheat. You can trust him. But what if he never let anybody see that? What if he never let anybody know him? What if he never let anybody see how just he is? How patient? There's something here we need to see. Goodness demands sharing. Justice demands sharing. Love demands sharing. You can't come to this and then hide it all away. God creates these creatures to enjoy what he made. The earth as a planet was ready to receive others so that they could live. That they could eat of the vegetation. That they could partake of the fruit. That they could be alive by it. And that their lives could be sustained by it. But wouldn't it have been a crime if the earth had been made and nobody got to enjoy it? Wouldn't it be a crime if nobody, not us, not anybody, ever got to enjoy who God is? I say yes. I say that would be a terrible crime. God, it would be a crime for us not to know you. For somebody to not see your righteousness, your justice, your love, your goodness. It would be a crime for people not to know God. It's a shame that more don't. But that's why we're here. Because you have been made to shine for him. You have been made to produce fruit. Jesus said, I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. And that your fruit would remain. But will you let others partake of it? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. Jesus here, as he had called his disciples unto him, he's getting ready to send them out. And I want you to notice what he says. To the 12 disciples, this is again Matthew 10 and verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Do you have that mindset as you walk through this world? Do you have the mindset that everything that God is doing in my life, everything that God is blessing me with, has been that free gift, and it's for me to then freely give it? Is that the mindset that you have as you walk through the world, as you come into contact with other people? Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. It's See, it wasn't just enough for Jesus to teach them and for them to know it. What he wanted to do was teach them so they could share it. The sharing, the inspiration from sharing, comes again from our belief. Do you agree with God that it was good? Do you agree Jesus is good and He's the only way and He's the light? Do you agree repentance and forgiveness of sin is good and it is the way to life? Do you believe that you need to be baptized to be saved? Do you believe that you need the Holy Spirit to give you life? Do you believe these things are good? And do you believe they're good for you? And do you believe they're good for others? In fact, do you think there's another way? Or is this the way to become a new creation? Acts chapter 3, and again, picking it up in verse 1 here. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Again, this is Acts 3, now in verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. I just love this picture. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. They took of what they had and they gave it. And what happened? He who was begging for help was given to so that he could rise up, leap, and with joy go in and start praising God, and that others who saw him could praise God. The life begets more life. The praising and worship of God beget more praising and worship of God. Our lives are all coming to a culmination as Jesus forms us and shapes us. Realize where we're headed. Realize the journey that God has taken us on, and don't stop short. God made you to give life to other creatures. God made you so that you could give. The whole point of all this work, of all the cleanup of the earth, wasn't just to clean it up to get it back to square one so we could look at a beautiful garden, or God could. No, it was all cleanup so He could raise up children in His image who would be producing fruit that others could be blessed with. He designed it this way because it's the way of Him. It's His way. This is what God does. God has all this stuff and He wants to give it and share it. See, we don't have to wonder what the crime would be like if He never did, because we're here experiencing God sharing what He's got with us. We're alive. We're on this earth. We have this universe to look at. We have all these blessings from God. He's sharing with us all the time who He is. Now, as God is transforming us into His image, it's not just a matter of getting us to stop sinning and cleaning us up. It's taking us down a walk of righteousness whereby our whole lives are being given unto God to serve others. Do you see that? Do you see the attitude? What I have, I give you. I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, that I'm going to give you. I'm going to heal you. Rise up and walk. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The work that God is doing in us should be inspiring us to do the same to others. You see, as we worship Him, we want to imitate Him. What higher form of worship is there than to imitate God? That is the highest form of worship, to imitate God. I see my Father do this, I want to do this. God does this, I want to do that. Jesus did that, I want to do that. To follow Him, to walk after Him. But everything has an outpouring. So all of the time we spend praying, studying God's Word, all of this has to have a release out unto others. Notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in, let's begin in verse 7 here. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why does God love a cheerful giver? Was that Linda? Exactly. That's how He is. He loves a cheerful giver because He's a cheerful giver. What good is a giver who does it reluctantly? When you know they're not giving with their heart, it spoils it, doesn't it? When you know that somebody's giving to you and they don't want to, doesn't it spoil the gift? Of course it does. Even the Proverbs talk about, you know, it's better to have a morsel with peace than to have a huge feast with contention. It spoils it. What good is all the food if there's contention? Better to have a little piece of food with peace, with happiness, with joy. The stuff that corrupts, it's not the stuff, it's the heart that's going on here. God loves a cheerful giver, so He's forming us to be cheerful givers. So He says here in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I left out an important word. Notice that again. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Okay, so this is still a little old King James's. You know, even though it's in New King James, it's a little hard to understand. What does this mean? The grace that is abounding toward you, God's grace is abounding toward you so that you always, in all things, whatever circumstance comes up, that you have something to offer to somebody else. That basically, you're wealthy in all these different ways to always have something to give. That you have something to offer by the grace of God to others. He is able to make you abound in all these things. It means that you have a wealth of resources. I mean, look at, again, the planet Earth. All the development God did. Think of the oil and what it's done. Think of the fresh water and what it does. Think of all the seeds and the produce and things that grow. Think of the animals that populate the earth and how the whole environment is based on a balance of all these creatures and this plant life that God has made. And how in all things and in every way that we look around the earth and see, there's a sufficiency that God has created. And in your life, He wants you to be abounding. He wants you to be growing. He wants you to be ready and able on every occasion to be abounding. But I believe that that wealth that God gives so that you can be ready to give on every occasion happens to those who are cheerful in giving what God has already given to them. Right? If you're faithful in giving the little, won't you be faithful then in giving the much? As you were generous with the little bit that you had, God can give more because He knows you're going to be more generous with the bigger things. There is a principle here that God wants. Not that you give to get, but you give because it's the right thing to do. It's what God would have us do because it's what God does. He's a giver. He's generous. He's outpouring. What is love? Scott said his first thing that he comes to is His unending, all-surpassing, deep love. What is love? But taking of all the resources that you have and of your own free will, choosing to use them to serve somebody else. That's what love is. Whatever I have, to look at somebody's need, to look at people's needs, and to take what I have to make the situation better, to give of myself, whether it's my money, my time, my energy, my property, my spiritual insights, the Bible, the Word, prayer, healing, anointing, whatever I have, to give it. This is how the body of Christ works together, that each one gives as he is able according to the blessing of God. But friends, It is all about this. All of the work that is being done is to make us in this image. That with our power, we give. That with our blessing, we give. Because that's the image of God. He is able in everything. What does God lack? Yet He takes of everything He has to give for us. Verse 9. So as it is written, He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Why? Why does He do that? Why does He pray this? Why does He want you increasing and rich? So that while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, the spirit of giving, that you're generous with others, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, that in this new creation that we become, we can bless other people and they're going to praise God for it. I mean, isn't that awesome? This is how God is working all things together, how He becomes all in all, because the creatures who we are become like God, and we're helping other creatures to become like God because it begins with the worship of God. As they go to praise God, as they seek God, as they come before Him, He's going to do this new work in them. He's going to shine the light on them. He's going to lead them to repentance and confession. He's going to lead them to be baptized and receive of His Spirit so He can work a new creation in them, that He can bring up many to Him. But the way He has chosen to do it is through you and me. We are the vessels that He has chosen. He didn't have to do it this way. God could command the rocks to shout. God could command the rocks to praise. God could command the rocks to do it. But it's not about the rocks. It's about you. He wants you. You are the desire of God's heart. You are the one He wants to give to, and you are the one He is nurturing up into His image. And everything about what we do, if you say, why am I here, God? It's to be made in the image of God. How can you be made in the image of God if your heart, in its deepest, darkest places, is in a heart of loving and giving to others? What did Scott say God's greatest characteristic is? The unsurpassed, deep, unending love. What does God want in you? If that be the image of God, what does God want in you? That's the only standard we need to think about. That's the only thing we really need to contemplate, the depth of God's love. And if that be His image, how deep does it go in you? We're to shine forth as His children to give life, and not just for ourselves, but to give for others. Verse 13. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. Do you hear that? Do you realize that your obedience to the gospel of Christ is going to cause blessing to other people? They're going to bless God because of you. And for your liberal sharing with them and all men. So be generous. Be giving. Take of the abundance God gives and bless other people with it. How can you pour it out? How can you share it? God made you to do this. God made me to do this. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice here in verse 25, we've been talking today a bit about the first part of the creation and how God has to clean us up. We were a wasteland. We were no good to God. We weren't doing good for anybody until we really came to Christ. So the cleanup process is to stop doing the stuff that's so negative so that we can start doing the stuff that's so positive, that's so righteous. Put away the unrighteousness to be righteous. Put away the unholiness to be holy. So notice where we're going. It's not just a matter of putting away, but adding on. Ephesians 4 and verse 25 says this, "Therefore, putting away lying," that's what we repented of, "let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Notice, "let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Is that the heart with which you work? When you go to work, are you thinking, hey, it's not just enough that I'm not stealing from others. I'm going to work. I'm going to do honest labor. But the reason I work is not just to provide for me, but to provide for those who have need. Is that your heart? So this is the heart of God. This is what God's doing. He looks at need and says, how can I meet the need? How can I fill the need? Isn't that what causes you to praise God? He came and met a need. I'm going to die. Save me. Deliver me. Help me. Please bless me. I need your help, God. And God is so faithful. He looks for how He can take of His resources and meet the needs. For what reason? Not so that we just become dependent and just live off that our whole lives. And that's it. He's showing us a pattern and a model and a way so that we then, as He blesses us, can now take of the blessing and realize as we labor in that blessing that we give it to others. The church will always be known by its generosity and its love. Don't be stingy in it. Don't withhold. Be generous. Be giving. It's how other creatures survive. It's not because of our greatness. It's because of what God has blessed us with that we could bless others with. The earth, it was just a planet. It was just something God made. But yet, look at all the creatures that He provides life for through it. It's His glory, but it's the earth that does it. It's the earth that produces all the things that keep this whole ecosystem working. It's all to God's glory, but it's through the earth that He does it. He does the same through you and through me. Let's finish up here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 to 36. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 to 36. Luke chapter 6, 35 to 36. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." You know, the earth is kind of an interesting thing as a planet. You realize every animal, every human being is dependent upon what it provides. You don't always get thanks for how cool the earth is, do you? I mean, we've seen people put all kinds of poisons and toxins into the earth. And people don't appreciate it. Now, God certainly doesn't want us to worship the earth. But there's a natural appreciation when something is providing for you that you're good to it. You know, God said you should have a Sabbath rest of the land, a land Sabbath every 7 years. You should let it rest. And you know, when Israel didn't do that, you know what He said? He said, "That's fine. I'm going to send in somebody to take all of you captive, and then I'm going to give it the rest for all the years that you haven't done it. I'm going to make it up to it." Because you kept trying to force the soil to do more than it was supposed to do. You didn't respect it. You weren't thankful for it and what it was providing. You just kept trying to get more out of it instead of thinking about the relationship that you have with it and what I told you to do, which is give it rest every seventh year. Now, the earth is a very unappreciated thing in many ways. It's easy just to take from it and not value what it does. And because of that, there's lots of land that I've been to where farmers will tell me this land doesn't have even, 10% of the nutrition it used to have. It's been so raped by the people continually using it over and over again. Or they'll say the microbiology has just been destroyed through all the chemicals that people started putting on the soil after World War II. They just destroyed it. Things can't live in it. It's so dead. It's going to take a long time for it to heal. That's a very sad thing. But realize that in life, that's a reality. You will not always be appreciated for the gift that you give to others. In fact, Jesus said that as you give the fruit, you're going to be spit on. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be beaten. You're even going to be imprisoned and put to death. These are realities of a Christian walk. Because as you do it, some will accept and some will reject. And it's just like the earth. Some will treat it right and some won't. Some will look to get what they can from it and they'll abuse it. The thing is, will you keep giving as God does? No one has suffered more than Jesus. And remember what it says in the book of Revelation in the seventh trump. God says He comes to reward His servants, the saints and the prophets, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. He comes to destroy those who destroy the earth. And I would submit to you, He was not just talking about a planet. He was talking about this earth right here. This clay. This earth. Will you take of this earth and submit your will for this clay, for this earth unto God? He wants you to take of who you are and give it to Him completely and wholly in service to others. People say, how could you pray for somebody who is being so rude or obnoxious to you? How could you love those who hate you? How could you bless those who revile you and curse you? Because your eyes aren't on those people in the sense of trying to give back what they're giving to you. Your eyes are on those people with the image and view that God has, that He made them, and His hope is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And if that means giving your life for them, so be it. And who gave us that example? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He gave everything to feed us spiritually, to encourage, to exhort, to edify, to build up, to comfort, to instruct, to teach, to show us, to lift us up, to say, I made you special, and I gave my life for you. God wants to see that in us. What He's creating in you, it won't be what He wants you to be if it doesn't have sharing it as part of it. You've got to share it. You've got to give it. You've got to let it out. And that gift will be as sweet as that faith, that belief that God says, and God saw it was good. Be strengthened in your faith. Be strengthened in your hope. In your belief in who God is. Be strengthened in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be strengthened in this way of life. Be strengthened to know that you were made to produce fruit for God. And that your delight be His delight in sharing that fruit with every other creature. There are those who will accept. There are those who will believe. And you may just be that vessel through whom God gives them life.